Morning. Today's daf in Kedushin Lamed Aleph. A couple days ago, in daf Chavtes in the Gemara Kedushin, we started a Mishnah that spoke in very broad terms about mitzvahs that are incumbent upon the son towards the father and from the father towards the son. We are on the latter, actually. I presented the Mishnah in the wrong order, but anyway, we're in the we're discussing the mitzvahs that apply from the father to the son. A braisa on Chaf Tes Amud Aleph records that there are five basic obligations that the father has towards the son, and that the father, to the exclusion of the mother, is obligated: bris milah, pidyon haben, limud haTorah, marriage, asiya isha, lamda umnos, and to teach a profession. And then the inclusion, the possible inclusion of Lashita Bamaim to help him float in the water, what we would call swimming. The Gemara we find ourselves is on Lamed Amud Beis, Lahasio Isha. Okay, we're up to now the obligation that is incumbent upon the father to marry off his children. So Minalan Dechsev Kchunashim Oli Debanim Ovanos Ukulav Nechem Nashim Ves Benosechem Tenulash Nashim. So the Gemara over here has a very simple pasuk, a very straightforward pasuk, that gives the instruction of you, meaning you have the responsibility to get married and to have children, both boys and girls, and for your sons you're going to take a wife, and for your daughters you're going to have a guy get them. All right, the pasuk is very clear. Pasuk Anach. Now, Bishlam Abinah B'yado, Elabita B'yadohi. So the Gemara's question over here goes like this. It's more straightforward and so to say, easier. I mean, we're talking about marriage. I'm not sure if anything is easy, but it's easier for you to get a wife for your son. But the Gemara says, but how exactly are you going to get a husband for your daughter? The assumption going into this question is that the woman is more readily available to join a family than the other. So then the other direction. So the so how exactly do you do that? So the Gemara says, "Hachi kamar lahu niten lamidi v'lav shev nechsei." So the Gemara says, what you're going to do is that you are going to provide for your daughter. You're going to dress her nicely, and kihech dekavto Allah inshi, so that men will basically be gravitated towards her and jump in her general direction. In other words, basically the Gemara's answer is make your daughter attractive, and that will get her to get married. Lalam Domnus, we're talking now about a profession. Minalan Amechiska Amakarber Echaim Im Isha Asher Ahavta. So the Gemara over here describes Chaim together with Isha. So the word Chaim over here is assumed to be a livelihood, meaning Chaim is life. So life is livelihood, and that's a parnasa. And the pasuk here in Tehillim is describing that Chaim should go in conjunction with an Isha. It's funny, of the two terms over here that is open for interpretation, I would think Chaim is open for interpretation. The Gemara says, no, Chaim, we know what that means. That's livelihood. Isha is open for interpretation. So the Gemara says, now, Im Isha Mamashu, so the Gemara says, now if Isha is over here understood literally, so that means that just like you have an obligation, as we just established, to marry off your son, you also have an obligation to teach your son a profession. Im Torah hi, now the Gemara goes on to explain that if it's Torah, meaning if Isha hears a reference to Torah, the meaning it's an allegory, it's not to be taken literally, so kishem shechayev lo mo Torah, kachayev lo mo Romulus, but the conclusion is going to be the exact same conclusion. Just like you have an obligation to teach your son Torah, so too you have an obligation to marry off your to teach your son a profession as well. And the Gemara says anything that will promote life is an obligation. Floating in the water, swimming in the water, that is something which will enable him to live in the event that he falls in. So that is chiyus, and that is something that your father's obligated to do. Rav Yehuda Omer Kol Sheinam Lamdo Umnos Malamdo Listos. And then finally, at the end of this braisa that we quoted back in Chavtes Amud Aleph, so we had three opinions. Tanakama gave the five obligations: Mila, Pidyon HaBen, Torah, marriage, profession. Then there was the Yesh Omrim in the braisa that says you should also teach him how to swim in the water. And then there was the third opinion, but the Gemara wants to now know, what is that third opinion? The third opinion is authored by Rav Yehuda. He says, if you don't teach your child a profession, it's like you're teaching him a how to steal. So the Gemara says, Listos Agadache Elakila Malam De Listos. So first of all, a reiteration of what we said earlier, you're not teaching your son how to steal, it just simply means that you are you're giving him no choice but to steal. It's ki'ilu. Okay. But that doesn't help us in terms of understanding what's the difference between the Tanakhama and this third sheet of Rav Yehuda. So my benai uke benai de agmar iska. So the Gemara says the difference between sheetas 1 and 3 is as follows. If, let's say, you teach your son not a craft, not a profession per se, but just simple business. So a business acumen where your son now knows how to buy something at a low price and sell something at a high price. Okay, that's business. So according to the Tanakhama, that's good. I mean, Tanakhama says as long as you teach him some livelihood, it doesn't matter exactly how the money's made, but as long as you teach him some livelihood, that's fine. And what Rav Yehuda is coming along and saying is no. A livelihood by itself, just to teach him a simple business strategies, is not going to be sufficient. You have to teach your son a skill. As Rashi points out, the difference between business versus a skill, I mean, we know, but Rashi writes, according to Rav Yehuda, it's got to be a profession. Because if all he knows is business, well, sometimes business is good and sometimes business is bad. And sometimes there's just simply no activity. There's nothing to make business with. And so therefore, during those slow periods of time, and there's still the bills and the food, and so during those slow periods of time, so the son's going to steal. If, however, you teach him a skill, an actual skill, so that's going to always be in demand, and so then your child will always have a chance of earning a living. Okay. Kol mitzvah ha'av al ha'ben. And now we're finally going to go in the other direction. Meaning now, after having spent two dapim discussing the obligations that a father has towards his son, now we're going to go in the other direction, and now we're talking about the mitzvahs that the son has towards his father. But now, in this other direction, we're not excluding it to the son. It also means the daughter as well. We already established that earlier, but now let's see it again. If we're talking about the mitzvahs that the father has to do for his son, Hashem chayavos, are women obligated? We've already established that these are the mitzvahs, that if we're going in the direction of father to son, it's only on the father, not the mother. We've established that. I'm reviewed Achi Kamar. Kol mitzvos ha'av hamutalos al haben la'asos le'aviv echad anashim ve'echad anashim chayavim. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we must mean is the other direction. The mitzvos on the child, incumbent on the child to do for their parent, so men and women are obligated. And then the Gemara is going to quote a brisa. Ish ein li ala ish, ish aminai kishu amr tirao hare kan shnayim. Okay, we saw this brisa already 2 days ago. We're seeing it now again. And that is, the brisa says that tirao. They both have a mitzvah of yiras horim. They both, the son and the daughter, are obligated to fear their parents. And by extension, we're also in the suit covered as well, the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. So they're both obligated. So now the question, which I raised a couple days ago, but I knew the Gemara here is going to answer it. Im ke matam lamer ish. So then why would the Torah then say ish? Ish imo v'aviv tiro. If ultimately it's going to be both the son and the daughter who have an obligation of yira, why does the Torah specify ish? So the Gemara says ish si pek biyad la'asos, isha ein si pak biyada la'asos memnesh rishus acherim alam. The daughter is not always going to be in a position to honor her parents, to fear her parents and honor her parents. Why? Because there's going to be a good time in her life when she's going to be married, and when she's going to be married, her primary responsibility is going to be towards her husband, not towards her parents. So yes, although there is an obligation for a daughter to fear and honor her parents, but that's not an absolute obligation, because once she's married, she's going to have to first address her husband and then address her parents. And So that's why the Torah says ish, because ish is an objective benchmark. A son is always going to be obligated to honor his parents. I'm Ravida Barav, and I'm a Rav Nisgarshash name Shavim. And then the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav that if husband and wife get a divorce, so then they are back on equal footing, meaning they both are obligated to respect their respective parents. Okay, and we are now going to launch, I mean, we've already done so, we are going to discuss in very general terms this obligation of the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, yiras av v'aim, honoring your parents, fearing your parents. It starts I mean, started the two dots just a moment ago, but I guess I'll put a bookmark right now in the Gemara. This is the beginning of the Gemara's discussion of the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. It will continue now for the next approximately 3 days. These Gemaras that we're going to be beginning are the sources in the Gemara of the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. So the first point the Gemara is going to make is a general point regarding the comparisons between honoring your parents and honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Pasuk says, Kabetz Avicha V'Simecha, Parshas Yisro, I think that one we knew. And the Pasuk says, Mishlei Kabetz Hashem Yonecha, you should honor God from your home, from your wealth. So, Hishva Kasuv Kibud Av V'Em L'Chavon HaMakom. So there's an equivalency between the honoring. And then Namar Ish Imo Vaviv Tira'u, Venamar Es Hashem Lekecha Tira, Va'oso Savod. So once again, you have now an equivalency between the fearing of your parents and the fearing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hishva Kasov Maros Ava'im Lemaros Amakum. So once again, an equivalency in terms of Yira. Nemar Mikala Avi V'Ima Mosimas. Cursing your parents is a capital crime. V'Nemar Ish Ish Ki Yikala L'Kav Nasah Chet O. And then there's also cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what we call blasphemy. Hishva Kasov Birchaz Ava'im L'Birchaz Amakum. And the Gemara, speaking euphemistically, says that the Torah creates an equivalency there as well. One area where there cannot be an equivalency between your parents and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's next, Ava Behaka Vada Efshar. And when it comes to hitting your parents is a capital crime. There is no such thing as hitting a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He is incorporeal. So it's just simply not possible. So this is the only area where your parents are going to deviate from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but simply because of the makeup of your parents being of Basar V'Dam and a Kodesh Baruch Hu not being of Basar V'Dam. V'chein b'din sh'shloshem shutfim bo. And the Gemara says, and the reason why, it's logical, because the three of them represent the partnership in terms of the formation of you. Okay, so three mitzvahs that there's an equivalency: kibud, yira, and mekalo, and cursing. One mitzvah where there cannot be equivalency, and that is by haka. Later in the Gemara, tomorrow's daf, we're going to talk about the basic differences between kibud versus yira. That's coming up in tomorrow's daf. Ten rabban shosha shutfim heim ba'adam. There are three partners in a person: ba'karish baruch hu v'avi v'imo, karish baruch hu father and mother. Bezman shadam mechabes avi v'isimo. So when a person honors their parents, so Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Mala Ani Alehem Ki Ilu Darti Beinehem. It's as if I lived amongst them. V'chib Dunin is as if they honored me. Tanya Rabbi Amar Galov Yaduluf Nemisha Amar V'Haya Olam Sheben Mechabed Es Aviv Yoser. Sorry, Es Imo Yoser Me Aviv. This bright star over here is really addressing a stira in the Pesukim. Not a stira, and that word is a little too strong, but a discrepancy between the Pesukim. When the Torah describes the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, it puts dad in front of mom. Kabed es avicha vesimecha. When the Torah describes yira, the fearing, it puts mom in front of dad. Es ish imov aviv tirau. So first mom, then dad. So what this brisa here is going to do is it's going to try to explain the discrepancy. So let me start again. Last line on Lamed Amud Beis. Tanya, Rabbi Omer, galuvi aduluf nemisha amar v'haya olam sheben mechabes imo yoser me aviv. It is natural that a person honors his mother more than his father. Reason why is because mom is just simply nicer. That's not the literal translation. Take a look at Rashi over here. Mom, the word pitua usually translates as seduce. It's not over here the best way to describe it, but just simply means mom is nicer, she's sweeter, and so therefore there is a more natural proclivity on the part of the child to honor mom more than dad. Dad is just simply a little tougher, he's more gruff, and so therefore the Torah knows that, the Torah acknowledges that. So therefore the Torah is going to put in the parsha of kibud dad in front of mom, because it's just simply, it's not as natural as honoring mom. And then galav yaduluf nemisha amar v'haya olam shaben mit yarei me'aviv yoser mi'imo. In terms of yira, so there is more natural proclivity for the child to fear dad than that of mom. Mimnesha Malamdo Torah, because dad teaches Torah. And dad teaches Torah, and dad is going to have to explain rules and laws, and dad is also, there's discipline involved in the teaching of Torah. So once again, dad is just simply a more imposing figure. That's why in the Parsha of Yira, mom is placed in front of dad. When a child is mitzair, he causes pain to his mother and his father, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, it's good that I do not live there. So there will be siluk hashchina if there is a lack of kibra v'aim. Because Kadosh Baruch Hu says, if I were there, so they would not only be paining, the parents would be paining me as well. Any time a person violates an avera privately, he's pushing the legs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar Karamar Hashem HaShamayim Kis'i, the heavens is my chair, my throne. V'haretz HaDom Ragli, and the world serves as my footstool. So again, it's anthropomorphic. It's just a way for us to relate, to understand. We just a moment ago, we've established, it's a tenet that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incorporeal, but just in terms of giving us a way of wrapping our heads around these ideas, so we describe this world as being the footstool of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now, when you violate Naver B'Seser, so you're, so to say, pushing it away. So I'm Rav Yeshua Malevi, also La'adam Shealech Arba Amos B'Koma Zekufa. Prohibited for a person to walk four Amos with Koma Zekufa, walking with a straight posture. Shenamar Malochol Haaretz Kevado. Kadosh Baruch Hu fills the entire world, meaning as a way of recognizing that Kadosh Baruch Hu is not just up in the heavens, but is right here on this earth. So a person is supposed to walk not with head held up high in a good posture, but rather just a little bit bent over. Ravuna Bered Rav Yeshua Lo Misani Arba Amos. Sorry, let me do that again. Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Lamisane Arba Amos Begilui Harosh. Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua made sure not to walk four Amos without his head being uncovered. Amar Shechina Lamala Miroshi. He said, the Shechina is above me, and I want to recognize that, so my head is going to be covered. I'd say it all times, but he said he didn't travel four Amos without covering his head. And this Gemara certainly is one of the basic sources in the Gemara for Minhag Yisrael of wearing a kippah. Shal ben Almana Achas Es Rebbe Eliezer. A child of a widow. So goes over to Rebbe Eliezer, meaning he's an orphan, and he asked Rabbi Eliezer the following question. Let's say I'm given two instructions, one by dad, one by mom. Dad says, go get me water. Mom says, go get me water. Eiza mehem kodem. So which one should come first? So he says you should first tend to dad and then to mom. She'ata v'imecha chayavim b'chavod avicha, because you and mom are obligated in kivod ha'av. Right? You're obligated to honor your father, your mom is obligated to honor her husband, so therefore you should tend to dad first. This is the answer that Rabbi Eliezer gave. This answer is consistent to what we learned just a couple minutes earlier this morning, in that the mitzvah that the wife has of honoring her parents is going to be secondary to the mitzvah of her honoring her husband. So that works in the direction going up. Now what we're learning in our Gemara is it also works in the direction going down. Meaning that if she asks her son to do something, but simultaneously her husband is asking the son to do something, so then the son should defer first to the husband and then to her. Balifnei Rabbi Yeshua. Now this child was an orphan. And he goes now to Rabbi Yeshua and he asks Rabbi Yeshua the exact same question. Balifnei Rabbi Yeshua Amar Lo Kach Amar Lo Rabbi. So Rabbi Yeshua gives the exact same answer. So Nizgarsha Mahu. So this kid, who parenthetically doesn't have parents, now is pushing the issue. And also, while he's pushing the issue, he is also not being totally forthright in terms of explaining why he's asking the question. He's giving off the impression that he's asking these questions because they are practical questions, the lamaisa. They're not lamaisa for him because, unfortunately, he's an orphan. But, however, as he's speaking to these rabbanim, Gedolei Yisrael, so he's not explaining to them, or he's not giving them the right impression. So I say that because it'll help us all understand the response that's given by Rabbi Yehoshua. So, Nizgar Shamahu. So the question now this child poses Rabbi Yehoshua is, what if the parents are divorced? So, Amar Lei Miben Risei Einecha Nikar Sheben Amana Ata. So your eyelashes are they're starting to fall out, meaning that you have lost your parents, and it's pretty clear from the way your eyes look, right? It's like by Leia, right? Veinei Leia Rakos, right? The eyes are a window into the soul. So Rabbi Yehoshua now is looking at him and understanding that he does not have parents. So Hatelahem Mayim Besef of Akakelan Kitarnagolim. Now the answer that he gives is a rough answer, admittedly, especially while speaking to an orphan. But but I guess in defense of Rabbi Yehoshua, the idea is that the child is asking the questions to Rabbi Yehoshua and being disingenuous in terms of asking these questions. His answer is, put water in a bowl and crow like a rooster. It's a dismissive answer on the part of Rabbi Yehoshua, basically saying to the kid, look, when you ask me a question, if we're in learning, that's fine. But if we're not in learning and you're just asking me questions to bother me, to provoke me, that's not fine. Darish Ula Rabba Pischa de Benesia Mai Dechsiv. The Gemara quotes a drasha of Ula Rabba, and he quotes the pasuk Yoduch Hashem Kol Malchei Eretz Kishamru Emreficha. So all the nations, all the nationalities of the world, the kings of the world, are going to acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu because they heard Imre Ficha. Now, Mamre Picha L'Nemar Le'Imre Ficha. Now, it doesn't say Mamre, it says Imre. Imre meaning the words. B'Shar Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Anokhi V'lo Yelecha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu started with the Aseret HaDibros. So Dibra number one, Anokhi Hashem. Dibra number two, Lo Yelecha. So the nations of the world, when they got to one and two, by after two, they said, this is a very self-involved God. Anochi Hashem, lo yelecha. This is all, it's all about him. Amru umos ha'olam l'chavod atzma hu doresh. So that was their reaction. Kevin shamar kabit zavicha v'asimecha. However, when you get to now, Dibra number five, honor your parents. So then they understood that this God was not all about self-involvement. There's a commandment number five, which is to honor your parents. So then Malchei HaOlam understood that this is just simply not a God who is self-involved. Rabbi Mamehacha, Rabbi has the same idea, but generated from a different pasuk. Rosh Devarcha Emes, Rosh Devarcha Velo Sof Devarcha. The first of your words, of your Dvar, of your Dibros, so they're Emes. Now that gives off the impression that, yeah, the first ones are great. After that, it's all downhill from there, which obviously is ridiculous. So once again, it's the same basic idea. When you get to the end of the Dibros, and not even to the end, but when you get to number five, so then there's a realization that one and two are also Emes. Five is Emes, one and two are also Emes as well. Which segues beautifully into the next Gemara. The next Gemara is probably going to be of today's daf, the most popular part of today's daf. You probably already knew this Gemara even before sitting down and learning today's daf. But it segues beautifully because what the Gemara just established is that there's an intuitive nature to the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. Mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em is not just something where the Torah commands and we are looking at the Torah. Okay, look, I don't understand, but I'm doing it because the Torah says I'm supposed to do it. Kibud Av V'Em is very intuitive in nature. In fact, we're going to learn together right now that in terms of the role model of who we're going to follow in terms of the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, we're going to turn to a non-Jew. Right, a famous non-Jew, famous only because of today's daf, but a famous non-Jew who basically sets the bar in terms of where the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em is. The Sefer Chinuch writes, the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em is really a function of Hakaras HaTov, meaning they brought you into this world. The only reason why you're in this world is because of them. I mean, them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we talked about earlier this morning, or Gimel Shutfim Ba'adam, but they're the reason why you're here. So therefore, as Hakaras HaTov, as a way of paying back the goodness that was provided for you, so there's this mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. So there's a very intuitive nature to the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, and that's why the Gemara now is going to use a non-Jew as a role model, because it's not, again, it's not a mitzvah which is just, you know, chok. It's not a, It's a totally natural mitzvah. At what point do we extend this mitzvah of kibbut avim? Meaning, how far do you have to go? So let's take a look at this non-Jew living in the town of Ashkelon. V'dama ben Nesina Shmo. His name is Dama ben Nesina. V'amachas bikshu chacham and prakmach b'shishim ribui. So one time they got a knock on the door. Chacham and open the door. So generally speaking, you open the door and there's a chacham at the door. So generally speaking, they're not giving you a business opportunity. But here they are. And it was valued at 60 times 10,000, 600,000. Okay, a lot of money. Now the key was locked under the head of his father, and he didn't disturb his father. His father was sleeping on top of it. He didn't disturb his father, so he missed a tremendous buying opportunity, business opportunity, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of kibbut avim. The reaction of all of us would have been the same. I'm going to address that in just a moment. So what extent is the mitzvah of kibbut avim? This is going to be basically the same story, just with more details. So once again, let's take a look at our non-Jew living in Ashkelon. His name is Dama ben Nesina. And now the Chachamim needed stones for the Eifod. B'shishim ribu sachar. And again, 600,000 coins, Rav Kahana Masni Bishmanim Ribui, and then Rav Kahana, whenever he taught the Brisa, so he would say 800,000. That was his Mesorah. Vayam Avtech Munach Tachas Mershosav Shal Aviv, and the key was under the head of the father. Velotzi Aro, and he didn't disturb, he didn't wake up his father. Lishana HaAcheres, the next year, the following year, Nasan Kash Baruch Hu Scharo, Kash Baruch Hu rewarded Dama Ben Nesina, Shanodolo Paraduma Be'edro, where the Paraduma was born in the flock of Dama Ben Nesina. And Chachm Yisrael comes in, and Amar Lahem Yodeh Ani Bachem Sheim Ani Mevekesh Mechem Kol Mamush Shebaolam Atem Nosnim Li. And Dama Ben Nesina realizes that he has something now of unlimited value. Okay, and he knew that he can ask whatever he wanted for that item. He says to them, Ela Ein Ani Mevekesh Mechem. All I'm going to do is just simply recoup the, not loss, I didn't lose money, but the lost potential profit that I could have gained last year. So that's the only thing I'm going to ask of you for the Parah Aduma. So couple things over here, just to point out. Number one, there are only historically 9 paradumas that existed throughout the entire history of the Jewish people. A 10th paraduma is going to come with Zman HaMashiach. So this is just in terms of giving us a sense of what kind of commodity we're talking about in the paraduma, why it is that he can demand any price that he wanted. I think we all share the same reaction. If that were me and I was sleeping and I missed that opportunity, I would not thank my son, but rather I would... Right, I wouldn't kill him, but okay, most parents would be unhappy. But the only point is that as a result of that, sounds like the better thing for the son to have done is to wake up the father, not to let the father keep sleeping. So it must be, you have to say, Rav Moshe writes this in the Tshuva, you have to say over here that it's really the only way to understand the Gemara, is that in this particular scenario, the son knew that the father would have preferred to sleep rather than gain profit. Meaning, for whatever reason, sleep was more important to the father than the potential profit from this particular deal. You have to say that. It's really the only way to understand the Gemara. And so therefore, if you know that your father wanted the other, the father wanted the business opportunity and the chance of making money, so then obviously you go the other direction. You wake up the father. That's the mitzvah of kibbut avim. You really have to say that within the framework of this Gemara.
Well, I'm assuming that the father was the owner of that.
Correct. It's not totally clear from the story who was standing to lose over here. Okay, agreed. I'm Rabbi Chanina. Now we go back to the Gemara. We are towards the bottom of the Amud on Lamed Aleph, And the Gemara says, "Amar Abichin and Ma, Misheinu Mitzuv V'Yosek Kach, Mitzuv V'Yosek Alachas Kama V'Chama." So the Gemara says, "Now we're going to generate a very simple kavachomer. The non-Jew is fulfilling the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, but the word mitzvah over here is exaggerated, to say the least. There is no mitzvah, meaning for a non-Jew, it's not a mitzvah." Again, like we said earlier, it's just an intuitive reaction to being the product of your parent. You are going to respect them because they brought you into this world. They took care of you, so you're gonna treat them in kind. So, if this is true for someone who is not commanded, so for us who are commanded, alachas kama v'kama, meaning this takes us to a very basic question: what's greater, someone who volunteers to do something or someone who is commanded to do something? So you ask somebody that question. So the first reaction, I'm speaking in generalities, but the first reaction is, oh, the person who volunteers, meaning, right, he wasn't told to do it. He's doing it because on his own he realized, hey, this is the right thing to do. As we're about to learn in the Gemara, it's not true. It's not correct. The person who was commanded is greater than the person who was not commanded, for reasons which we're going to articulate in just a moment. But the Gemara now points out, with that assumption, so now the kavachomer is very simple. If this is what happens to someone who's not commanded, Dama ben Asina, so someone who's commanded, who is greater, how much more so the obviously the obligation, but you don't need a kavachomer for that. You have a mitzvah, but for the reward that comes from the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. And now the Gemara points out, De Amar Rabbi Chanina, Gal the mitzvah v'yosa b'mishen mitzvah v'yosa. Greater is the one who's commanded and does it, rather than the one who is not commanded and does it anyway. And then the Gemara spells out Amar Rav Yosef, Meresh Hava Amina Manda Hava Amar Li Alache Kerebi Yosi. So Rav Yosef says as follows: Meresh, originally I thought. Now, one thing you need to know in order to go into this Gemara, and that is Rav Yosef is blind. He went through an illness, he lost his sight, he is blind. Our two most famous blind Amoraim is Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes. They are the blind Amoraim of the Gemara. And so the Gemara points out that Rav Yosef wanted to hear the following. Originally, somebody comes over and tells me that the halacha falls like Rabbi Yossi. Is it Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Yehuda? I'm questioning myself right now. Okay, either way. If somebody tells me that, I'll say the halacha, I'll say it like Rav Yossi. But somehow, it may be Rav Yehuda. Either way. Huh? It's Rabbi Yehuda? I kind of felt that way. Okay. I go with your first guess. In this case, should have gone with my second guess. Anyway, the halacha goes like Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Suma Patur Min HaMitzvos. Now, there's a debate throughout the Gemara, not that many places, but there's a debate in the Gemara in terms of whether or not if you're blind, you're given a pass on doing the mitzvahs in the Torah. So Rav Yehuda takes an interesting position, and that is that a blind person is patur min mitzvos. Okay? Why should that be? So off the top of my head, I don't have a clear memory in terms of what the rationale behind that is. But that is Shitas Rav Yehuda. We don't pass like Rav Yehuda. We are of the opinion that a blind person is chayv mitzvos. The Gemara at the end of Pesachim, in the 10th Perek, had a discussion over there regarding the blind Amoraim and they're leading the Haggadah at the Seder night. Anyway, but we don't pass like Rav Yehuda. Rav Yosef said, I wanted someone to come and tell me that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda. And it's not because he wanted to get a pass on doing the mitzvos in the Torah. In fact, just the opposite. He was going to do the mitzvos anyway. He thought originally better to do the mitzvos without being commanded. Why? Because he thought, like most people would think, volunteering is better than being commanded. Isn't it better to do the mitzvah because you just simply know it's the right thing to do rather than being told what to do? Now, Avinu Yumatav LaRabbanan. Now, if somebody were to tell me that the halacha falls like Rav Yehuda, I would have sponsored Kiddush. Not a literal translation, but for our purposes it works. It conveys the idea beautifully. The halo mifkedina v'hav dina, because I'm not commanded to do the mitzvahs and I'm going to do them anyway. Hashta d'shmaita lahu d'sham ase laha d'am rabbi chanina gadol mitzvah v'yosa yosa mimi she'ena mitzvah v'yosa so adarabah. So, but once I heard the statement to Rabbi Chanina that it's greater to be commanded and do something rather than not be commanded, so then mandam reli d'ena lachik Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, there it is. It is Rabbi Yehuda. So the halacha does not fall like Rav Yehuda. Avinu Yom HaTavla Rabbanu. So then I would have sponsored Kiddush for the Chachamim. Okay, so greater is the one who is commanded rather than the one who is doing it on their own. Why should that be? If you take a look at Tosfos over here, so Tosfos gives a reason behind this, Nira. It's the fourth Tosfos down. So it would seem to me, says Tosfos, the Haina Taima Demisha Mitzvah Viosa, Adif Lefisha Doeg Umitzta'er Yoser Penya Avor, maybe Shem Mitzvah Sheishto Pasbasal, Shem Yotze Yaniach. So Tosfos says it's really a function of stress and anxiety. Because if you're told to do something, you have to do it. And now, with that comes more stress, more anxiety. But over here, I'm saying that as a good thing. Meaning, and because there's more, you have more skin in the game, so therefore you're going to get rewarded more. If you're volunteering, so here's the beauty of being a volunteer. I can call in sick. I'm not getting paid. I'm just doing it because I want to volunteer. And you know what? I'll do it if I'm up for it, but if I'm not up for it, I won't do it. So Tosfos says that's the... that's the reason why. There are other reasons that are given as well, but we'll stay on the daf today, and we'll stay with Tosfos. That is one point. Another point, which is just a good general knowledge to have, is that Tosfos, the next Tosfos on this Amud, has the following discussion. Let's say you're doing a mitzvah, but you're not commanded to do so. So would you make a bracha on such a mitzvah? So simple examples. Let's say you are a woman and you're doing one of the mitzvahs that says Shazman Grama. You're doing one of the time-bound mitzvahs. So you're a woman and you're sitting in the sukkah. You're a woman and you're taking lulav and esrog. So you're going to be making a bracha on that on that mitzvah. So let's go over the two sides. On one hand, you weren't commanded to do so. On the other hand, you're volunteering to do so. So would you make a bracha? So Tosfos learns from our Gemara. He thinks the answer is absolutely yes. Sure. Women are going to be making a bracha on a mitzvah even though they're not commanded to do so. Why? So if you take a look at the next Tosfos on the Amud, Mikan Medaktek Rabbeinu Tam, so here Rabbeinu Tam arrives at the conclusion, that women, when they're volunteering to do a mitzvah, they're going to be making a bracha. Why? Avagav depeturus lagami dafila medarabanan lamechayvi kidemuchach beperek mishameisu. Now, first of all, in terms of women and their mitzvahs, esei shazman grama, so they're not obligated, not even on a rabbinic level. Meaning, a woman does not have to sit in the sukkah on sukkahs. A woman does not have to take lulav and esrog. Not on a biblical level, not on a rabbinic level. There's just simply no obligation. Now, what if they want to do it? What if they want to volunteer and do it? So are they going to be making a bracha? So Rabbeinu Tam says, yes. So first of all, it's not taking God's name in vain, meaning it's not a bracha shein etzricha. So Tosfos says they can. And now, mishum mevarchos bracha shein etzricha di'i lav hachi, heiches amech Rav Yosef alo mafsi kol habrachas kulan. What's the proof of Rabbeinu Tam from our Gemara? Look, what was Rav Yosef's first impression? I'd rather volunteer to do the mitzvahs. Because he thought, originally, volunteering is better than being obligated. And he says, and if somebody told me that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, so I'll sponsor Kiddush. Now, this sponsorship of Kiddush, Tosfos says, Rabbeinu Tam says, imagine, if he's not obligated and does the mitzvahs, but he's not going to be making brachas, do you think he's really going to be happy? Meaning, all those brachas that he loses... It must be, says Rabbeinu Tam, that even in the state in which he wasn't obligated, it must be that he was still saying the brachos. So there was actually, sorry. So there was no difference between him not being obligated versus him being obligated, other than the perceived reward that he was getting from them. But practically speaking, there's no difference. So this is one of Rabbeinu Tam's proofs that even when you're not obligated to do a mitzvah, but you opt into doing the mitzvah, you're going to be making a bracha. This Rabbeinu Tam translates as halach lamaisa for the Ashkenazim. The Ramah brings down that if a woman's going to be doing a mitzvah that she's not obligated in, she's still going to be making a bracha. So she sits in the sukkah, she'll make a bracha. She'll take lulav and esrog, she'll make a bracha. Shofar, she'll make a bracha. The Rambam, on the other hand, does not arrive at this conclusion. The Rambam is of the opinion that if a woman is opting into doing a mitzvah that she's not obligated to do, again, she's more than welcome to opt into the mitzvah. But if she's opting into the mitzvah, the Rambam says she's not going to be making a birchas hamitzvah. Okay, and that is reflective of a basic difference between the Ashkenazim and the Sephardim. The Ashkenazim women who are opting into doing mitzvos, so they will be making a bracha, and the Sephardic women will not be making a bracha. Okay, let's continue in the Gemara. Ki asa Rav Dimi, Amar. We are at the bottom of the Amud on Lamed Aleph, three lines from the bottom. And more stories about Dhamma ben Asina. Okay, so we already have one story in the books, told over two times in the Gemara, and now we're up to story number two. Ki asa Rav Dimi Amar Pamachas Hayalav Sharikin Shel Zahav. One time Dhamma ben Asina was wearing fine gold clothing, Vaya Yoshim and Gedoli Romi, and he was sitting amongst the Romans, Vata Imo. And the mother of Dhamma ben Asina comes over, the Karasa Bimenu, Vatab Chalav Rasho, rips her clothing, spits on her head, smacks his head, Viyarka Lo Bifanam, and spits in his general direction. Velohi Chlima. Now his reaction to his mother, nothing. Meaning, I'm going to honor my mother. I'm not going to, even though she publicly embarrassed me, but I'm not going to respond in kind.
She found out that he didn't wake up the father.
And it's you know, it's so funny. It's so funny you said that. I was actually thinking that when I say clearly his mother was not mentally well, I don't have to speculate. Tosa says it. So Tosa says Yesh b'Medrash she'osa she'haisa miturefas midata. So Tosus quotes a Medrash that says that Dhamma ben Asina's mother was crazy. Okay, and a couple of points over here. One is that there's still a mitzvah of kibbutz avim, even though your parents are not mentally healthy. That's clearly what comes out from this Gemara over here. The Rambam addresses this issue of whether or not you have to honor your parents if they are mentally healthy. And I'll share with you a little bit later this morning, or tomorrow maybe, what the Rambam's viewpoint is. But in order to understand and appreciate the Rambam, you have to know a little bit more Gemara that's coming up later on. But it certainly comes out from there. And now what I'm saying is speculation. Okay, so put my next sentence under parentheses, right? Disclaimer, this is speculation. So if mom was a little bit off, I don't know if it's so far-fetched to say that dad was a little bit off as well, which may explain, earlier we were so bothered by how can, you know, dad would rather sleep than, you know, make all that money. Yeah, maybe. Meaning that could have very well been the case. Tani avimi berei de Rabbi Abahu. Yesh machal aviv pisyoni vitir domen olam v'yesh matchino berechayim umevil idechayim haolam haba. Perhaps one of the most difficult parts of the mitzvah of kibbutz avim, and in general all human relationships, but in the context of kibbutz avim, very difficult, and that is proper attitude. When you do the mitzvah of kibbutz avim, it's not going to just simply be the robotic, mechanical, here is your water, but rather you have to do so with a pleasant pleasant demeanor, a pleasant disposition. You can feed your parents the finest of foods, and you're going to lose your portion in the world to come. You can get your father to basically do some work, some labor, some hard labor, and you're going to get a portion in the world to come. How does any of this make sense? So if you take a look at the top Rashi over here, and Tosfos on the bottom of the previous Amud also says this as well, but let's do this from Rashi's standpoint. So, Umevil La'olam Haba, top Rashi on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, Rashi writes, Shemechavda B'dvaro Dvarim Tovim, V'nichumim V'hamalach HaMati Allah, B'lashon Raka, Mar Lo Tzorech HaShah She'in Yichol Meis Parnes, Ela B'yegiyah Zu. So you are pleasant to your father, and you say, basically, look, this is what we're going to have to do. Now, Uve Gemarsu Yerushalmi Garas. Now, in order to understand this a little bit better, so Rashi over here quotes the Gemara Yerushalmi. Maisa b'shnei, maisa b'echash ayamachal aviv pisyoni. So we'll go over story number one of the Yerushalmi, where the son is feeding his father a pisyoni. Pisyoni is some sort of very exquisite bird. And pamachas amarlo aviv me'ayin lecha kol eila. And now dad says to his son, where'd you get all this from? I mean, this is really nice. Where'd you get it from? And the son's response, amarlo sava ma'ichbat lach. Old man, what difference does it make to you? Tchon va'ocha. Just chew and eat it. So that's the response the son gave to his father. So even though in action, it's beautiful kibbutz avim, but in attitude, terrible. And to that, the Yerushalmi is saying, and our Gemara is saying it as well, just our Gemara is not giving the whole story, is that the Yerushalmi is saying, mafsidu min ha'olam, meaning you lose a portion in olam haba because your attitude was terrible. Klamar, la'oz v'achol, harer shekasha lo. Because basically what you're showing your father is, I'm doing it, but I'm not liking it. And this is really difficult for me. He obviously has an ill will. He has contempt for his father, even though he's honoring his father in practice. V'tov ma'isa be'echad shahaya tochein berechayim. Sorry. V'shuv ma'isa be'echad shahaya tochein berechayim. And then the Yerushalmi tells the other story, where v'ayelo av zaken v'shalach ha'melech b'shvil aviv la'avor la'avoras ha'melech. The dad was sent a letter by the king, and dad was basically commissioned by the king to come over and work for the king. Now, working for the king was backbreaking work, and it was unending. Amar lo b'no abba t'chon. So now the son says to his father, I'll tell you what, you stay home, you do the milling, that's what they did at the house, so you'll mill the grindstone, v'ani elech tachtecha, and I'll go to the king and I will do the endless backbreaking work for the king so that you can stay here and you can grind the millstone. So essentially, what the kid is telling his father is, hey, you grind the millstone. But in the context of the story that we just said, that's a beautiful thing. And that's the kind of attitude where even though he's saying to his father, you're going to grow the mine, you're going to grind the millstone, but because of the context, it's one of the highest forms of kibbutz avaim. Okay, back to our Gemara. Amar Rabbi Abba, we're on the very top of Lamed Alpha. Medbeis kigon avimi bri kayim mitzvahs kibbutz. My son avime fulfill the mitzvah of kibbutz avaim. How the Gemara goes on to explain. Chamisha bini samche havalei la avimi bechaye aviv. Avimi had five sons. They were all musmachim. They all had smicha. And v'chi hava asa Rabbi Abahu kari abava right va'azo upasachle va'amar in adamate hasam. So, and when there was a knock on the door, and when Avimi's father was at the door, so Avimi, instead of allowing one of his sons to run to the door and open the door, he himself ran to the door, was yelling adamate hasam, I'm coming, meaning he showed tremendous kibbutz to his father. Despite the fact that he had five very competent children who could have easily opened the door for their grandfather. So one day Avimi's father asked for a cup of water. So he went to go get the cup of water. He came back and Avimi found his father sleeping. And so Avimi now had the cup of water in hand and basically waited there until his father woke up. Now, while he's waiting there, waiting for his father to wake up, so what do you think he's going to do? He's going to think in Torah. Istaya milsa vidarash. Avime mizmor le'asaf. And because of the fact that he was thinking Torah while involved in the mitzvah of kibbutz avaim, see, that's yata d'shmai. He had special divine assistance in terms of understanding a perek that, up until this point in his life, was very difficult for him to understand. The perek of Mizmor La'asaf, if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi gives a couple of explanations of what exactly in the perek bothered him. I'll say over one of the Peshatim and Rashi outside, Mizmor La'asaf, if you read on in that Perek in Tehillim, what you're going to find is Kadosh Baruch Hu destroys the Beis HaMikdash, where then it's very difficult to understand how does the Perek open up with the words Mizmor La'asaf. Mizmor sounds like a song. Sounds like something we should be cheerful about. So Rashi says, what occurred to Avimi is that Kadosh Baruch Hu in his anger didn't take it out on the Jewish people, but rather took it out on the Beis HaMikdash. Amale Rav Yaakov Bar Avua La'abai Kigonana Da'ad Da'asinu Mebei Rav Abba Madli Li Kasevi Ima Mazga Li. I come home from the Beis Medrash and my father pours me a cup and my mother also pours me a cup of wine. Hecha Avid, so who should I take it from? Amale Mi'imech Kabel Me'avucha Lot Kabel. So he says, if both of them are offering you a cup, take it from mom, not from dad. Why? The Kevin Debar Torah Hu Chalsha Daite. So because your father's a Ben Torah, and even though he is serving you, but still, if you take it from him, he's going to have Chalishas Das, and it'll be dispiriting. So take it from your mother. Rabbi Tarfon had a mother every time that she needed to go up to the bed, Gachin V'Salik La. So he would bend down so that she could step on him in order to ascend to her bed. And every time she needs to get down from the bed, so she would assist her in getting down from the bed. So he goes to the base medrash, and he does a couple fist pumps, and he says, I was so good at the mitzvah of kibud avim. You got, you didn't even get halfway there. Did she throw your wallet into the sea, and did you not embarrass her? Then when you get there, are you going to be arriving at a place of kibud avim? Let's do one more line and we'll stop for today. Rav Yosef ki avashama kol kare dime. When Rav Yosef heard the mother, the footsteps of his mother. Now again, the sensation of hearing, because Rav Yosef was blind. So when he heard the footsteps of his mother, Amar ekum mikam shechina da'asya. He says, I'm going to stand up because the shechina is coming. Again, the three-way partnership in terms of the formation of a human being. And honoring your parents is equivalent to honoring a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So his mother comes in. I'm going to stand up in front of my mother.